We're back. We're back with your extended news at noon. Tracy Morgan with you for the next few minutes here. And since we are talking to candidates, we're going to be now talking to Sam Doctor, of course, running for the 11th district. Since we just got done with Marcy Mostello, we'll give Sam the same amount of time. So, Sam, thank you very much for joining me today. We appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you very much, Tracy.
And so I want to ask you first, because this is not the first time that you've run for this seat. This will be your third attempt at getting this seat. What do you think will be different this time around?
Well, this year has been different for our family and for everyone else's family. It's a difficult year to run an election or to run a campaign in. Many of the traditional things that are very effective to reach voters are pretty much off limits to us. I'm not going to go out and knock on doors and talk to people face to face. The risk of, transmitting COVID-19 to somebody or bringing it home and giving it to somebody like my dad who has COPD is too high. For a two-term seat, I think that would be kind of unconscionable. So it's a very different year. We're relying a lot more on non-traditional means of reaching voters, and I think that it's not been ideal, but we're doing the best we can.
Since we're talking a bit about the way we've been living recently, let me ask you your thoughts on gatherings at this point, like I did just a moment ago with Marcy. I asked the indoor kind of thought process and the outdoor kind of thought process. So let's just start with the indoors. Since bars and restaurants are hurting so much, do you have any kind of plan to help bars and restaurants? And what's your stance on gatherings right now?
Unfortunately, a lot of the damage has been done. One of the big problems with the shutdown, the governor's orders, and the legislature's response is that our representatives failed to sort of address the fact that there was no additional way to get your status changed if you were a business once the waiver period closed. The waiver period was very short, and maybe you didn't qualify as an essential business initially, and you took action to make sure that you did. Well, if that took too long, then you're kind of out of luck. You're stuck with that designation of non-essential. Some businesses in our area were lucky enough to be able to take advantage of that waiver period. I know Cloud9 Vapor is one that I know of that managed to change some of their manufacturing practices and use it to make PPE and hand sanitizer and things like that. And as a result, we're able to stay open. Many other places were not as fortunate. Restaurants specifically, I think, are going to continue to face obstacles, not just from the government, but from their clientele.
So do you have a plan or any thoughts on how to help them as they move forward?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the important thing is that the guidelines from our state government are clear, concise, that restaurants and other businesses are able to ensure that they're within the guidelines and following them so that they don't have to incur any kind of closure or penalty. I think that outdoor seating should be expanded to 100%, and indoor we should be moving as quickly as possible towards 75, 100. But it's going to depend on how resilient the state is with respect to infections. I think that even if you told restaurants, go ahead and reopen 100% today, they're not going to be able to consistently, fill those seats. And I think it's because people are still very uncomfortable with the situation. So they're going to need support, continued efforts from the state government to ensure that places that are hurting because of the situation get grants and aid. We need to facilitate that our representatives in government need to facilitate that every single day. I think that's going to take a bipartisan effort.
Let me ask you about Governor Wolf and your thoughts on his decisions that he made during the big part, or I don't want to say the big part, the beginning of this pandemic, because we're still going through it. We don't know when it will end. Do you feel that there has been transparency there? And then I will ask you about the transparency on a national level as well. So let's just start with the transparency on the state level. Do you feel there's been transparency? And from your viewpoint, not being in the seat, do you find that there has been some cooperation between the Democrats and Republicans?
I think that the transparency on the part of the governor's office and the people who were tasked with creating these orders has been wholly insufficient. I think that the governor's opponents in the legislature and elsewhere are right to criticize the nature of how these decisions were made, that they were made behind closed doors, that they were made without much input from the business community, from our legislators. And I understand why that happened, right? I think that Judge Stickman, when he made his ruling, the federal judge that overturned those orders earlier this fall, I think that he was correct in saying that none of this was done with any kind of bad intent. They were trying to save people's lives. I think that not enough care and attention was paid to making sure that people understand the rationale behind the decision-making process, that they understand what the data that the governor's office is following. In the best-case scenario, citizens should be able to understand that if this factor changes, then the restrictions or response from the governor's office is going to change in this way. And you just can't do that with the guidelines that they've set out, with the orders that they've set out.
Do you feel...
I think that that's been a total political failure, if it hasn't been a failure to address the health issues.
Since I asked Marcy the same question, I'll ask you as well. Do you feel that there has been transparency on a national level?
That's not my job as a candidate for state office to really, comment on the affairs of the federal government. And I think that focusing on Pennsylvania is the right thing to do if you're someone like me who wants to serve their community in this way.
Sam Doctor, on the phone with me, running for the 11th district for that seat as a state representative. And I want to ask you about the polarization it feels like that we're in right now. Do you have any plans or any thoughts on how both sides could work together? Do you have any plans on how to work with the other side of the aisle, if you will? Do you find that they're working well or not working well together right now?
Yeah, the polarization is the reason that in this race that I've been in for the last 3 years. People are becoming more and more partisan. They're becoming less able to talk to each other in a civilized and educated way about the issues. And I think that is very, very, it bodes very ill for the future of our Commonwealth and for the future of our democracy at large. I think that something that we need to take extra effort to ensure as people who want to be public servants, that we need to model the kind of discourse, behavior, speech, action that we want people to follow. And I think that you need to make an unbelievable effort, one, to be completely above reproach when it comes to how you deal with your colleagues, irrespective of whether they're Democrats or Republicans. And number two, I think that you have to consistently and clearly tell the truth and admit when you're out of your league or out of your depth or need more information. And that's just not something that people expect from their public servants. I think that's a huge problem.
One thing both sides of the aisle have to work on, of course, is to balance the budget. If you were to be in the 11th district as the representative and you're looking at the balanced budget or attempting to do so at a state level, would you raise taxes? Are you in favor of raising taxes to do that, or would you cut programs?
Well, let me talk about the budget for a moment. The idea that our budget is balanced is not necessarily correct. We've had a structural deficit in Pennsylvania for a long time where, as the tax code is written, the state is simply not taking in enough revenue to cover its expenditures. And that has been exacerbated terribly by the pandemic. We have many, 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 many more unemployment claims than ever before, probably in the history of the state before the Great Depression, right now. And that's costing the Commonwealth a lot of money. And regardless of what kind of lip service your representative is going to pay to a balanced budget, the truth is that it's going to take new revenues and it's going to take cuts to address this problem, both in the short and the long term. Now, new revenues doesn't necessarily mean raising taxes, but it could mean something like legalizing and taxing marijuana for adult use in Pennsylvania. That is the one most effective thing that our legislators could do, number one, to raise money, and number two, to cut costs over in Pennsylvania. that we could use to address the budget shortfall is legalizing and taxing marijuana. It's a popular policy with the people of this Commonwealth, and for good reason, I think. That would be number one on my list of things to do, is to immediately co-sponsor legislation to that effect, because that's the single biggest thing you can do to move the needle on the budget. I know that Ms. Mastella says she doesn't want to raise taxes, but the truth is that legislators do raise taxes all the time. This year, Marcy Mastella voted to raise taxes on people who drive electric vehicles against some of her colleagues like Daryl Metcalf, and I would have voted the same way on this bill. Not only does that hurt the future of one of our most important industries in our district, which is AK Steel, but it unjustly penalizes people for, you know, making an effort to go greener and address the kind of ecological problems that we're going to be facing in the years coming.
Sam, I want to
answer your question.
Well, I want to make sure that we talk a little bit about the budget closer to home as well, since we're talking about finances. And you mentioned AK Steel. I'm not indicating anything on AK Steel. It just brings to mind many businesses that are in this area. The
sure.
economy of Butler County is not unique. We're all now trying to figure out as a country, how do you move forward in our own town? So let's stay with Butler County for just a moment in the areas that you would represent if you were to get the seat. Do you have any kind of economic plan to further growth or just get us back on track here in Butler County?
I think that you have to find a way to reduce or eliminate the net corporate income tax in Pennsylvania, number one. If you want to make our state more attractive as a place to headquarter a business that's, you know, a domestic corporation, you've got to get rid of our 10% net corporate income tax or drastically reduce it. Number one, it's a continually shrinking portion of the revenues that the Commonwealth brings in every year. And that's a trend that's going to continue. More and more, the state is going to rely on just two sources of revenue. That's personal income tax and sales tax. And so, instead of raising taxes on people, I think that we need to take a hard look at how we can drive economic investment into our state, you know, from states like Ohio, from Maryland, New York, where businesses want to leave an environment where they are being taxed at a much higher rate and come to a state like Pennsylvania if it had a lower corporate net income tax. That's important to me. Also, I think that you're talking about people's budgets. There's a lot of people who aren't able to make ends meet right now, who are unemployed and who are not able to get their unemployment compensation. I've spoken to a lot of people that one of them is a friend of mine. He's not in the district, but I'm sure there are people like him in our district where he applied for unemployment, you know, a month and a half ago, has not received a single penny of compensation from the state for unemployment compensation. So I think that's a crisis that we need to address right now, and the legislature is just failing to address that. I understand that it's difficult, but this is the job that our representatives sign up for, and it's absolutely imperative that we make sure that people who are unemployed are going to be able to continue paying their bills, that they're not going to get evicted, that they're not going to have their gas shut off in the middle of the winter. And that's just not happening right now.
I want to move on to voting as we're running out of time very quickly here, just by a couple of minutes. If we're talking about mail-in voting, what is your opinion on that? Would you contest a race for any reason? Are you in favor of the drop boxes? Can you give us your opinion?
I'm not going to contest the results of this race. I can tell you that. I have full confidence in our county commissioners and the team that they've created to, you know, handle this election. I think that mail-in voting provides a great opportunity for people like me who often are, you know, unfortunately forced to work during voting hours. And that's happened to me a few years. Last year I was able to request a day off, but the year before that I actually had to leave work for an hour, go vote, and come back. Now, Pennsylvania doesn't require that employers allow you to do that. And many people are in the situation, unfortunately, where if they're working on voting day, maybe 16 hours, like many of us do, they're not going to be able to cast their vote unless they can send in an absentee. And this legislation that passed in Pennsylvania before COVID-19 provides everyone in the Commonwealth with the ability to send in a no-excuse absentee ballot. My wife and I did it in the primary. We're going to do it again this year. I just got my ballot the other day. And we're very, very excited that more people are going to be taking part in our democratic process. I think it's going to be a really, really good thing for the Commonwealth. I'm not worried about this being a source of fraud or anything like that. The empirical data just doesn't support that kind of theory at this point. Of course, if that changes, I'll change my mind.
Yeah. And Sam, let me ask you one more question, just about 30 seconds left. If you had two of your top five issues that you would like to work on immediately if you're voted in, what would those two be?
Supporting working people is number one. And that includes making sure that we protect our right to collectively bargain in Pennsylvania and protect our right to, to join together and demand better compensation, safer working environments, everything that collective bargaining entails. Number two is making sure that our system of education in the Commonwealth is funded fairly and efficiently. Right now, the funding is not fair for education in Pennsylvania. Far too much is expected of landowners, and it's also a regressive way of getting your tax dollars to fund schools. An area where the housing prices are relatively low, they're going to pay a much higher percentage on the value of their homes than somewhere where your housing prices are relatively high. So wealthier neighborhoods benefit from this system as it exists today, and less wealthy neighborhoods suffer under it.
Getting
rid of property taxes is a big priority.
Sam Doctor, of course, running for the 11th District against Marcy Mostello, and both candidates on today. And Sam, I appreciate your time as we get to the polls here. And if we're mailing or voting by mail, then I guess we're already in that process. But thank you very much for your time. We do appreciate it.
Thank you.
And folks, thank you very much for joining us. We are out of time for this portion of our day. I guess I'm looking at the clock and looking at Pat and saying, wow, we're past 1 o'clock. So we will be back again tomorrow with more of your extended news at noon. More candidates. Tyler Friel is going to take a few of these conversations from here on in, and we'll look forward to those as well. Thanks so much. I'm Tracy Morgan. Have a good day.